It's time for Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now, let's have some fun. Here is your host, Johnny Radio. Johnny Radio.
Yo, welcome into a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy, Johnny Radio. I hope you had a wonderful weekend. I know I had an absolute blast, man. Are you kidding me? Friday night, went and saw a little Runaway Grooms and some J.J. Gray at the Levitt Shell. What a beautiful evening that was. Then on Saturday, my goodness, thank you to all those out there who listened and participated and went down to Wingfest down at River Garden Park. It was awesome. I had so much fun. Thank you all for coming and seeing us over at the VIP tent. Everybody was partying, eating wings. Skinny did not win the wing eating contest. And my favorite team, the Barnyard Pimps, did not place. Got to ask y'all a question, though. I think some of them are a little mad at me. I hope they know I love them. I announced, of course, the winners from 10 to 1st. And I went from 10th all the way to, and there were over 60 teams there. So it was a wonderful event at World Wing Fest. We raised a lot of money for the Ronald McDonald House. Paul, everybody did a great job of putting that bad boy on. But so I'm announcing the winners all the way up. And remember, these are cash prizes. So right when I'm about to announce the winner, I kind of jokingly look over and was like, Tim and the Barnyard Pimps. And then I said, didn't even place in the top 10. So they went from screaming and yelling and elation and the happiest people in the world to I ripped out their freaking heart. And I kind of feel bad. So just know I love you, pimps. I love you, Barnyard Pimps. But for real, everybody who showed up, it was a wonderful event. Thank y'all so much. We all had a whole lot of fun. And I hope you had a wonderful weekend. A lot of basketball we're going to talk about, especially starting at 11:30 today. A lot of basketball talk. You know we got some hoops tonight. 6 o'clock, we got the Magic, who can't shoot, playing the Cavs. My goodness, that was one of the worst shooting teams I've seen in a long, long time. You got the 76ers and the Knicks. Man, home court teams were winning.
First time since like 2013, all the top-seeded home court teams won.
And I think it was what, first five favorites covered? Then it was a couple.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, man, it was if you were a NBA fan and your team was in the playoffs and you were at home, you left your arena really damn happy. But we got Magic and Cavs at 6. You've got the 76ers and the Knicks at 6:30. The Lakers and the Nuggets tonight at 9 o'clock. The Lakers have lost 9 straight to the Nuggets. Anthony Davis was awesome. LeBron James was awesome. What did I say? D'Lo was going to have to be awesome. Well, he was not. Nuggets took care of business and, again, have beaten the Lakers 9 straight games. So we got some hoops to talk about. Again, 11:30, we're going to get down with Terry Davis. We'll talk about what we've seen, what we're going to see, and how to make a little money. We'll also talk some Tigers and some Grizzlies and all that good stuff. Oh, my. Now, Jake Crane's going to join us here from Crane & Company here in just a little bit. We're talking everything from the NFL draft that is this Thursday. Can you believe it? NFL draft this Thursday. Well, also, I want to talk especially to Jake about the quarterbacks because, you know, the whole J.J. McCarthy, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams. I mean, there's Bo Nix, Michael Penix, all these guys. Like, you know, Caleb Williams, number one to the Bears. My man just left and went to Tokyo. You know what I mean? Like, right in the middle of the pre-draft process, just him and his girlfriend head off to Tokyo. They're like, oh, you know what, man? We're going to cancel a couple meetings. We're going to run and have a little fun over in Tokyo. We'll be back. Talk about him. We got to talk about Jaden Daniels maybe not wanting to go to the Commanders. Drake May, every single time I watch another show or listen to another podcast or another talking head, talking about his mechanics, having to work with his mechanics. Maybe he's a little bit too hype, you know. It seems like he's getting a lot of shade, but everybody and their grandmother's falling in love with J.J. McCarthy. And then Michael Penix, people are like taking Bo Nix over Michael Penix and talking about him maybe going to the Broncos. And the only thing I can think is because do you think Sean Payton just likes short quarterbacks? Because he's not like Drew Brees. I keep hearing that, oh, Sean Payton, yeah, he'll be the next like Drew Brees. Bo Nix played more games in college football than anybody. My man was a starting machine, and he was a damn good college quarterback. But even in his last year at Oregon, he was 120th in yards per attempt. He does not push the ball down the field. This is the National Football League. And then Michael Penix, who can push the ball down the field, nobody likes him. And people are also saying his age when Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr. are basically the same age. And I don't know if you remember. Do you know who beat Oregon twice last year? Oh, that's right. Michael Penix Jr. outplayed Bo Nix in both games last year and beat him. But the lasting memory we have against is that good Michigan team, which was a Michigan defense that was dominant, a run game that was ridiculous. Do you remember little homie? My man, dude, what was it, two rushing touchdowns in the first few minutes of that game? And it wasn't even Blake Corum. So we're going to talk a lot of NFL draft. We'll also talk about the new rules and regulations that are going on in the college football game. Now we got tablets, we got two-minute warnings, and we got helmet comm for the quarterback. We're going to talk about all this stuff and so much more with, I think, the best in the business. I love the fact that I don't have to get up at 6, but no matter when I get up, I can just pull up on YouTube, Praining Company. You got Blaine, you got David, and you got Jake right there tearing it up, always keeping you abreast of what's going on. Check out Praining Company. What's up, Jake?
Man, what is up? Yeah, look, we hop out to bed like we're possessed. Somebody's got to carry the boat, Johnny Radio.
Dude, and y'all already, you're like, wake up. Got a lot of knowledge. Huh. But again, my favorite part about it is I sleep till 8 and I put you on right when I want to wake up because I can watch you when I want. So, like, that's the cool thing about YouTube.
It's 24 hours, baby. We're always here. Just look outside your window when you're eating dinner. I'm there watching.
All right, I got to start off. We're going to talk a little football today because the NFL drafts this week, and I really want to pick your brain on the quarterback situation because I'm extremely confused about a couple guys. And again, this is the talking heads, rumors and leaked stuff. But then we also have, you know, like Caleb Williams does like pink nails and likes to just take trips to Tokyo in the middle of the draft process. So we have a lot of weird stuff going on. But before we get into the NFL draft, I'm going to start with the college game.
Yeah.
You now have the two-minute warning.
Yep.
We're now going to have helmet comms in the quarterback and the coach. They can talk to each other. I think, up to 15 seconds on the play clock left. You also are going to be able to have the tablets on the sideline. I think it's, 18 tablets per team?
Per team. 18 you can have on the sideline and in the booth during a game.
That is that's a big game changer. First and foremost, what are your opinions on these new little rule changes? Is this basically is the helmet comms because of Jim Harbaugh?
Look, some people have said it's because of sign stealing, but if you give one guy a microphone in his helmet, that doesn't mean that everybody can hear it. Like, I'm so confused how some people think this is somehow going to stop sign stealing. It may make more teams huddle, right? Because you can get that information into a huddle and not have to signal unless you're doing some sort of check or some audible at the line of scrimmage. But this isn't going to be some, like, stop on signaling. I mean, yes, the quarterback gets to hear and maybe get a little information on what just happened or what the coach thinks is going to happen while he's given the play. But somebody still, if you don't huddle, got to give the wide receivers the call. You know, you can bark out to the offensive line, but in some venues, the offensive line can't hear. So this isn't going to stop signal stealing, which is legal, by the way, if you do it the right way. The two-minute warning, rumor has it, which I don't believe this, is that they're actually not going to have a commercial during the two-minute warning. What I think they're going to do is do that little side-by-side.
Exactly, right? Like
that golf. That we see at the Masters, that we see in the NBA and NHL playoffs. That it's not really a commercial, but it's kind of a commercial while everybody's waiting. I don't mind it that much. I think the tablet is going to have more of an effect on anything because, listen, I've been on the sideline trying to draw that stuff up on a chalkboard or a whiteboard or whatever. takes a lot of time, and it ends up looking like a Jackson Pollock painting. So the fact that I can sit here and show you on a tablet, hey, guys, here's the play, this is exactly what happened, makes it way more efficient, and more people are visual learners than not. So I think that's going to make the gameplay a little bit smoother. It's going to make the teaching a little bit smoother on both sides of the ball. So I don't think the helmet mic or the two-minute warning is going to have near the effect that the tablets on the sideline are going to have.
I think the tablets, like, I agree with you 100%. That's going to be huge. I mean, that is massive. It's going to be great for the coaches, the players. It's going to be great for the product as well, I think. Helps both sides of the ball. The one thing, though, like, I keep thinking about the helmet communications. I feel like when I initially, teams that go fast and play with tempo and are trying to get up and down, I feel like this doesn't help them nearly as much. But if you are a slow pace of play, you like to huddle and execute, you know, you're a three down offense, this will be beneficial to you. Does this change possibly maybe some coaching style? Like, will we see some teams that usually go fast all the time where they might slow it up a little bit more?
No, I think you may see some teams that go fast, really, you know, have it, but you don't have to use it, right? Like, it's voluntary. You can choose to do it or choose not to. I think you'll see some guys that are like, look, we're cooking on offense the way we do it. I don't want to mess up any of the streamlined information, especially if we didn't practice it during the spring, and just go out there and be like, all right, well, we're going to try it. No, what I'm interested to see is, and it's the greatest stroke of irony, and it shows you how cyclical not only sports are, but life is. So advances in technology, a la the helmet mic, may lead to more teams going back in time and start to huddle. I think you may see some more teams start to huddle, but I don't think you're going to see anybody switch from going four-wheel drive back to two-wheel just because they put a little Circuit City in the helmet.
I love that. I like that. That's really interesting. That is how everything is cyclical. And by the way, I mean, it's always the pendulum swings to one side. Everything goes extreme, then it comes back down to the middle, and then goes far to the right, and then back to the middle. I mean, it's just life, back and forth, back and forth. Got to know, though, about this year's NFL draft, and I need your help because I feel like I'm losing my mind. Caleb Williams to the Bears. Loves his pink fingernails, just decides in the middle of the pre-draft process he's going to take a trip with his girlfriend. My man walks to the beat of his own drum. That makes me a little bit concerned if I was the Bears or anybody who was taking him. Immense talent. Dude's got talent just dripping. But it still was an abject failure. Remember the last six games at USC? That was just terrible. And we did see what happened against Notre Dame. He was awful. I don't know if he plays through the pocket enough, if he's trying to extend. I don't know. Caleb Williams, he's going to be the number one pick. I like him. Jaden Daniels, I like. He has an issue with Washington. You know, Drake May, you're hearing a lot of bad things, but you got to help me right now. I know J.J. McCarthy loves to meditate. He's positive. He's a hell of an athlete. But him, you know, being this now possibly top five, top 10, no farther than 15 pick, has me a little perplexed because this is a guy who didn't push the ball down the field. Again, Michigan won with defense and running the football game. And I also remember that TCU game in that first half with those three picks. So are you sold on J.J. McCarthy?
I'm sold on him down the road, just not right now. I think he's a guy that needs at least a couple years to keep developing and sitting behind somebody at the NFL level that can be there while he's developing and then he takes over. I don't think he's a guy that can plug and play. Not many are, but especially in this class, I don't think he's in the top four or five of guys that I would want to have leading my NFL offense right now. Not that he won't be. I think he's like a year and a half behind Bo Nix, right, from a developmental standpoint. But they do this every year. You get two different things. You have a bunch of smart football guys that sit around in one room and talk themselves into reaching to take somebody, or you're setting this guy up to be a smokescreen so somebody will move up and take him so you can get somebody else. We saw that with Will Levis last year, right? We see it every year. They're going to reach for a guy, and they're going to smokescreen a guy. I think J.J. McCarthy may be a little bit of both. But when it comes to Caleb Williams, this is why having the number one pick is great, but it also kind of sucks. Because if you got to get a quarterback, and we know how talented Caleb Williams is, but he's not a winner. He's not a winner. Now, there's been guys that haven't won in college that have won big in the NFL. I'm not saying that that's never happened, but he doesn't do great when it's not going great. That's the part about him I don't trust. Now, when I look at a guy like Jaden Daniels, I think Jaden Daniels did more with an even worse defense in the SEC than Caleb Williams did at USC in the Pac-12. So to me, I would take Jaden Williams over Caleb Williams. But the guy that they keep bad-mouthing, and I don't understand, is Drake. To me, I think Drake May is the best quarterback in this class. That's right, I said it. I think the man had literally nothing around him and a new OC last year. I think he can make all the throws. I think he's a more athletic Justin Herbert. I really believe that. So it's going to be crazy regardless of how it ends up. But if you're the Bears, you almost have to take Caleb Williams. Because if you don't,
and he's
a star, you're fired, right? Unless the next guy you pick, or the guy you picked instead of him, he better ball. And you saw what C.J. Stroud did last year. He better ball. So it's going to be interesting to monitor for sure.
Yeah, it really will be. Another thing that I have to help, you have to help me with, because you talk this through very well, make it easy for the audience to understand. But the Bo Nix, you know a lot about Bo because of his time at Auburn. Plus, he's made more starts than anybody in college football. His year at Oregon. Everything Bo's done, he's been a great college quarterback. But then I also look at Michael Penix Jr., and I'm seeing like both guys, and I'm thinking to myself, all right, look, Bo Nix, definitely a little more durable, strong, but he was 120th in football at yards per attempt. He doesn't push the ball down the field. He played in a very quarterback-friendly system at Oregon. I like Bo Nix, but I can't say that I like him more than Michael Penix Jr., and everybody has Bo Nix going ahead of him. When Michael Penix Jr., by the way, beat Bo Nix and outplayed him twice last year when they dropped to Oregon.
Yeah, you know, the one thing that kind of scares people a little bit with Penix is his health, right? But I actually think in the NFL, the way they protect the quarterback, he's probably in a lot better shape than he was in college, even though they're making strides to try and make the quarterback basically put him in a knocker ball. Look, when it comes to throwing the ball, I think Michael Penix reminds me of a left-handed Phillip Rivers, not only because of the velocity he's able to create, but the velocity he's able to create from kind of a three-quarters motion. But he gets the ball out, man. He's a big guy. He doesn't get a lot of balls batted down. I think the thing with Bo Nix that I'm going to find very intriguing is I do think his game translates to the NFL pretty well. I think he's a lot more mobile than what people think. But there are question marks on his ability to hit intermediate, you know, wide receivers and receivers down the field consistently, right? That's a question on him. That is not a question with Michael Penix. Now, look, Bo Nix did have Troy Franklin. He did have some guys that can really do it on the outside, but Michael Penix had an absolute, you know, bag of riches there at wide receiver. True. With Rome, with Polk, with McMillan, with all those guys.
But and look, a damn in the NFL, good offensive you're probably, line.
And a the Joe Moore Award winning offensive line. Mm-hmm. But you look at where Michael Penix could go, he could go into a situation that's kind of ready made for him. So, again, that's what makes this draft so intriguing. It's this quarterback class. I tell you another guy to watch out for, man, Spencer Rattler. I like the way he's made up. I like the way he's kind of overcome adversity and grown as a person. I think he may be the sneaky pick of the draft coming up here Thursday.
Ooh, I didn't even think about old Spencer Rattler, man. A little sneaky pick, definitely going late. But I did have to come back to one quick thing that you said that I agree with more than anything. I'm not as worried. Yes, the NFL, the guys are bigger, stronger, faster. But again, Tom Brady played to his 45. Aaron Rodgers is coming off Achilles, and he's 40 years old. Kirk Cousins is 35 years old down in Atlanta, just got a new contract coming off an Achilles. I mean, in the NFL, you might have bad things happen, but they are going to protect you. If they can protect you, again, I think Michael Penix Jr. could be an absolute steal late.
Yeah, that's why I'm interested to see where the middle of this draft class goes, right? We got a good handle on who we think's going to go at the top. Now, it may not be in the order that everybody thinks, but I think most people are going to be right with who's off the board. And yeah, I mean, when you go to the NFL, basically if you touch the quarterback, like you go to Guantanamo Bay, the IRS shows up to your house, your wife divorces you, and you can't see your kids for 6 months. So, yeah, I think Penix is in good shape.
What are you doing this week, man? What you got coming down the pipe? What am I going to be watching?
We're live streaming the first round of the entire draft on Thursday, so you got to join us for that. We've got Jim Nagy, who runs the Senior Bowl, coming on, probably the best guy you can have when it comes to the draft. It's not Mel Kiper, it's not McShay, it's Jim Nagy for sure. We got Jonathan Hunt from OutKick coming on tomorrow to talk some draft. We're talking NBA playoffs, you know, actually talking NBA now that it's the playoffs, the NHL playoffs, obviously college football in the spring game. Talked about Arch this morning and the freak out over, you know, his spring game performance. So, look, you like, whether you watch, whether you listen, go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. It's Crane and Company, C-R-A-I-N and Company. Come hang out with us.
Man, have a wonderful week, and we'll do it again next Monday, homie.
All right, buddy. Sounds good. Y'all be good.
That is Jake Crane. He is the man. Check out Crane and Company. They ain't no dead gum joke. Guess what we got, though? We haven't even talked really NBA basketball. We're going to talk that on the other side with Terry Davis. It is a fun day, Monday. Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Join the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin, for Wolo and Friends. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11 here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
All the wisdom of the universe is in these bones.
Now back to Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Johnny Radio.
Welcome back to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your good buddy, Johnny Radio. Man, I hope you're having a good one, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm having a great one. I'm in a great mood. Life is extremely wonderful, especially right now. And I got to tell you, you know, one of the reasons I was in a great mood is because I had a great weekend. Went and saw a little J.J. Gray Runaway Grooms at the Shell. Wingfest was off the chain. Three baseball games yesterday. Was at the park from 9:30 to 9 o'clock. Great damn weekend. And then I had to watch a whole lot of basketball and check my phone a whole bunch. It's a good thing, though. I got somebody who I know is watching all the games. That's Terry Davis, because we're going to talk about the NBA. But the reason also my weekend was, like, really nice is because, damn it, I look good. Because I went to Frontier Western Store, and so should you. 5880 Goodman Road, down in Olive Branch. Head on down there. Get all y'all spring and summer fashions. And they don't just have you dressed from head to toe. They have your girl dressed from head to toe. They have your mother dressed from head to toe. They have your kids dressed from head to toe. They have a great children's department, a ladies' boutique, a men's section, and the largest boot showroom in the world. Head on down to 5880 Goodman Road down in Olive Branch. Or shop online at frontierwesternstore.com. Terry Davis, happy Monday, brother.
Man, happy Monday, man. It's turned to be a beautiful, beautiful day. It's nice outside. If you were inside and can't get out, take a half a day and go enjoy the day. It's beautiful outside.
Dude, I'm telling you, man, it is so beautiful. And we got some action tonight. We got a little NBA action. We got to talk
NBA
about
NBA action.
We got to talk
about it before the game starts at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, we got, and then we got 6:30. You got 6:30. You're gonna be a little split screen, and then 9 o'clock. You got your team, the Lakers, who play the Nuggets, and you know I have to start right there because the Lakers are your team. They've lost 9 straight to the Nuggets. I mean, what can you say about Anthony Davis and LeBron James? They dominated. They were great. They were awesome. But
they did what they needed to do. Austin Reeve and Rui did not show up, and
D'Lo, you know, didn't play any defense on anybody.
But I tell everybody, you know, Denver, they let you – it's like a boxing match with Denver. They let you pound, 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 pound on them for the first two quarters. And the third quarter, say, okay, all right, man, we down with y'all. We're going to come back and take y'all 15-point lead and then go up and explode. And that's what they've been doing lately. They've been just letting teams punch themselves out early. And then the third quarter, they go and say, look, we're going to take over at the halftime and see can y'all keep up.
Yeah, I looked down at my phone and saw the Lakers were up by like 11 or 12 points in the first half. And I was like, damn, man, I'm out trying to have a good time. Don't be doing me like this. You know what I'm saying? And then all you know, you look back and you check it a little bit later. You kind of forget what happened. You're like, ah, I knew it. Nuggets won by 11.
Yeah, that's what they do, man. You know, they've been doing that a lot for the last, I think the last month and a half of the season. You know, they let all these teams get up on double digits in the first half. And then right before halftime, about 2 minutes in,
that's when they start making a run and get it to 10 by halftime. And then, boom, after that, by the middle of the third quarter, you down double digits.
How is it that, you know, we know that Nikola Jokic is the best player on the planet right now. Like, you really can't argue it. He's, when it comes to basketball, he is the bad man on campus. You know what I'm saying?
But he got some good backup singers, though, man.
He's got he's got a great supporting cast. But hold on, this is the one thing that I have to. This is what trips me out about him.
Yeah,
he's the best player on the court, but the second and the third best player on the court are Anthony Davis and LeBron James.
Yes.
Yet they can't even overcome the way that this Denver Nuggets team plays basketball through the best player in the world in Jokic.
Because you know you don't even think about Ben Gordon. You don't think about that guy who brother just got.
He's the dude who lifts all around him.
And Murray, it's just he got so much stuff around him. And my thing is, you got to shut them down and just let Joke and Jamal go off and shut everybody else down. You shut everybody else down, you got a chance. You shut Ben Gordon down. You shut Murray down. Porter down. Then you got a shot.
I do hear what you're saying. The thing is, though, is I just watch Jokic, and I don't remember a superstar athlete who has made his teammates around him so much better. Like, his shine is bright, but damn, he makes everybody else shine looks better. I mean, Aaron Gordon, we never thought of him in the way we did until he gets with Jokic. Michael Porter, always injured, you know, hadn't lived up to all the hype. His knees, you know, what would have been with his knees? Now he's doing great. Jamal Murray, let's be real. He was not looked at. I mean, people talked about D-Book. I mean, the kids that came out of Kentucky, he wasn't that dude, and now he's playing great. He just brings everybody around him, and he just raises everybody's level of play because his style is so unselfish, and he also always makes the right basketball decision.
You know, Murray has been balling when he hadn't been hurt since the bubble, which is 20. So he was, you know, he balled out in the bubble, and then the next couple of years he got hurt. And this is the first year he's, even though he was hurt some, he still managed to be more healthy than he's been. And he ended the season healthy, and he's not at top peak, but he still can ball.
Still can ball. Nuggets look like the greatest thing since sliced bread. They look amazing. First game, though, tonight is kind of interesting because the Cavs and the Magic are playing. Cleveland's only a 5.5-point favorite. The Orlando Magic, I know that they hang their hat on defense.
Yeah.
But that's the ugliest offense I've seen in a long time coming out of the NBA.
And you got to realize something, too. That first game they played was the first game that I think they played in a playoff in like 8 years. So none of these guys understood the bright light. And I think it might have caught them off guard. Because they didn't like they belonged there. Because
no, they did not.
Right. They didn't have it. They don't understand when you go to playoff. Playoff is a different. Playoff regular season is like minor league and major league. It's a big difference.
Yeah, it really is. I don't think they couldn't.
They answer bright light.
They couldn't buy a shot. And the crazy thing is, they shot so many damn free throws in that basketball game. They couldn't even hit their damn free throws.
Exactly. Pressure bursts pipes, man. And you know, and just like last night, man. If Oklahoma City had lost that game, which was the best and only good game of the day last night. If they had lost that game, they probably would have lost the whole series.
By the way, if Oklahoma City lost to the Pelicans last night, you think they would have lost the series?
I said if they had lost that game, they would have lost the series.
Dude, CJ McCollum couldn't hit that shot to win it.
Exactly. And my thing is, that was an ugly game from beginning to end, but it wasn't a pretty game. It was 17-17 first half. You know, it was just, neither team could hit a freaking shot to save their life.
No, they really couldn't.
It was the most competitive game of the day because everything else was a blowout.
Yeah, the Bucks, man, no Giannis, no problem. The Pacers didn't even look like they belonged. And the Bucks, I thought, had one of the worst third quarters you could ever have in a playoff basketball game. And still won, what was it, by like 20-something or something? I can't remember.
Yeah, it was a blowout. You know what's crazy? How everybody talks about Milwaukee and Doc and all like that. And you win a playoff game and series, and the narrative just totally changed.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. But Dame Lillard was ridiculous.
Dame Dollar, 35 in the first half, 0 in the second half, man. I'm glad you didn't have, do you have no points on him in the second half?
Well, when you're up 69-42 at halftime, you don't even need to come out. You just sit in the locker room and tell the damn role players to go out there and play defense. Pacers couldn't hit Jack.
Exactly. You know what happened was they were talking smack to Dame in the first half, and Dame just said, okay, I'm going to show you why they called me Dame Dollar.
Dude, that man went absolutely off. Now, can they do it without Giannis? Absolutely, I don't think so. I mean, they can get through this series, but they're definitely going to need him to get back. The sooner, the better. Clippers, go ahead.
He should be back by next series. I think I don't think they're going to sweep Indiana, but I think they'll get him in five. And by the end of this series, he'll be able to play one or two games in the end of this series, and he should be back by next series. So he should be okay.
And you remember what I told you about my kinfolk, James Harden, don't you?
Yeah.
Dude, he's awesome, man. Remember all that talk I talk about, man? Like, people always bust him out for having bad games in the postseason. What they talking about, man? What they talking about?
Yeah, but, you know, that's just round one. Let's see. No, the Clippers,
No, I'm kidding. He's always good through the first five games. It's game six and game seven for James Harden that absolutely destroys his rep.
Then he's a magician. He's Houdini. Poof. Where'd he go?
Disappeared. But, man, but the other thing is, you want to talk about a team that's dependent on superstars. I look at the Lakers, and I think the Lakers, Anthony Davis, LeBron James. But, bro, Kyrie and Luka have to carry the whole damn well. Like, they ain't carrying buckets of water up the hill. They got to literally somehow move the well down the hill because nobody else is helping them out.
Yeah, no one's helping them out. You know, I'm watching that game, Glass Man, doing what he's doing. LeBron putting everything he got into in the first half to keep him up, and then everyone else is just Reeves not giving you nothing, Rui not giving you nothing, Prince is inconsistent. It's just nothing. You would think they have a better team around him, but they don't.
Yeah, you would think so. Now the whole also situation is the Clippers. Like, when are they going to get Kawhi back? Like, when's he going to be back, and how much can he give them? Because we all talk about Giannis. What if the Clippers get Kawhi, how scary are they?
They're scary because they're good enough right now. But, they're good enough for this round. I think they can beat Dallas. Because, one thing about Dallas, as good as they are offensively, they're still not a great defensive team. And I don't think they don't get by the Clippers.
Because they don't even defend the three-point line at all.
Exactly, and I think the Clippers get by this series, and I think they're trying to hold out Kawhi as much as they can so they can have him for round two and round three if they can get to the championship game.
I like what I'm hearing. I like what I'm hearing. All right, TD.
76. Okay, football.
No. We're about to get to football. I got to ask you one more because I don't know what to do about the 76ers and the Knicks tonight. Like, I mean, some road team's going to have to eventually win. You know what I mean? And I don't think it's going to be the Magic.
Okay.
The Cavs. I don't think it's going to be the Lakers against the Nuggets. Can the 76ers be the first team to win on another team's in another team's arena?
Look at the injury report. If Joel Embiid plays, they lose. If he don't play, they have a better chance of winning because that dude, he got hurt and he could barely walk.
Yeah, he looked. I mean,
And I think if he does play. The Knicks going to take advantage of his injury, and they're just going to attack the rim. But if he doesn't play, I think the 76ers have a good chance to win. So look at the injury report, and that'll give you a clear indication.
But
the Knicks, man, they are so freaking cocky. As soon as they won, what did their fans do outside the stadium? We want Boston. Win the series first. They did the same thing last year in the playoffs when they beat, I think, Atlanta. First game, they went up, lose the series.
I didn't. Did you ask me a question?
That's the last time they did. The Knicks fans, they kind of obnoxious, man. They just need to sit down and enjoy that team, man.
Yeah. Well, this New York, man. It's what New York does. All right. I know you're ready for the draft this Thursday.
No. Tiger football, baby.
No, you ready for Tiger football? What'd you see on Saturday?
Oh, man. Mario Anderson, man. Mario, you remember that name? He is going to be the face of the program. We like Blake Watson, and we cheer for Blake Watson, and Blake Watson will get drafted, FYI, just letting you know that. But this dude, Anderson, this dude going to be the face of the team for this year, for this one year. This dude going to be all that. He's going to be our next first three-round draft, too. If he stay healthy, and stay out of trouble.
For real?
That dude's good. He's fast. He's big. He can catch. He can run. He got explosiveness. And he's going to keep that. He's going to help Steph Hennigan because he's going to balance that run game.
Oh, yeah.
Mario Anderson, man. Hey, we're going to be all right.
All right, so you're telling me Mario Anderson, Blake Watson, like how many weapons does Seth have?
He got more than enough, and the only thing that he needs to make sure that his offensive line, they have to transfer a portal so they can block him, because one thing Memphis do, they build these players up, and these other big teams come and poach them out the way, because it's like 5-6 days left to transfer portal close, and once it closes, I think we're good into the fall.
Dadgum, so we got two dudes who in the back both have, you know, basically one. I mean, like, they can take it to the house.
No, you know, what's called gone. You know, Blake Watts going to be drafted probably.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, I thought you were saying he was back. I thought he was gone.
We going to love Anderson. That's
oh,
thing.
Okay, good. I was like, man, we got two dudes?
No. You know, Brandon, now he's the gold down back. You know, he's like a 300-pound move machine on the goal line. So, you know, Brandon's going to always be there for the goal line. But Anderson, he's going to get you from 20 to 20. He's going to get you there, and he might even get you from one to the goal line, too, because he's that powerful.
All right. How nice was Saturday's action? Like, what would you see the spring game? How was the turnout?
The turnout was really, really good. I was impressed by the turnout. You know, it wasn't 20 or 30,000 people out there, but it was a nice 5,000 strong. And the energy was different from other energies. You know, this is almost the same energy we had going into 2019. You know, because everyone knows if we do what we need to do, we're going to get to where we need to be.
And that's the college football playoff, people. That's what this team wants. Oh, my God, that would be so crazy. Now I got to ask you, how much do you love FedEx?
You know what? If anybody else asks me about FedEx and $25 million, they're going to get slapped. So don't ask me about that. That's all I've been hearing all weekend. $25 million, FedEx.
Dude, it for name, image, and likeness. Yeah, that's football, that's basketball, and that's for the girls.
For the ladies. Yeah, exactly. You know, that's a big thing. That's a big deal, man. And, you know, FedEx deserves it, man. And they did it in a smart way because they're doing it under the premise of marketing, so it's going to be tax deductible. So they are smart in where they're doing it. You know, they're not just getting into a collective and just letting the money go, you know, untaxed and all like that. At least they can use it as a tax write-off. So that was smart, and people complained about their money and all that good stuff. You know, I even heard one person say this weekend, Penn is use his own money. You know, Penn is rich, but he ain't that rich. He ain't billionaire rich. You know what I mean?
Somebody actually said that?
Yeah, they did.
Man, I don't care, dude. Like, I don't know anybody who like is like, you know what? I'm just gonna go to work and no, I'm good. Don't pay me. Screw that. All these other people are getting paid, but no, I'm good.
Yeah, exactly. But it's gonna be fun, man. You know, the name in is not. You know, we getting ready for the draft. You know, but you know, but this is a great time of year, man. You got basketball going on. You got baseball heating up. And you got hockey doing what it needs to do, man. So, and you got golf courses out there, and it's not too hot. So, this is the best time of year. So, enjoy what you got to do, man.
What are the three things that you can never have enough of?
Baseball. You know, I'm a gym rat, so I can do football, basketball all year long. Because, you know, summer league starts up in about 65 days, and I can't wait to go to Vegas and burn up in 110 degrees weather. And, you know, you never get enough of football, man. Those three you can never get enough of. Well, me, I can never get enough of.
I was thinking more like money, weed, and women.
Oh, I don't do weed. I don't do drugs.
I know. It's not a drug. It's a flower, bro. You don't like flowers.
I don't do flowers. I do plants. I do herbs, like spices and stuff when I cook.
Terry, man, you are so funny. What you working on this week?
I'm doing a little Tiger wrap up. And then I got to do a little basketball wrap-up because I know Penny going to have something probably breaking out before Friday. And then I got one foot out the door trying to find a baseball game to get to in a major league city.
Man, are you going to be able to go see your Reds this year?
Of course I am. I go to see them every year, man.
I know you do. They play today against the Phillies at the house,
they
man.
They are hot, man. You know what? I kind of wish we was in the American League. We eating them dudes up over there, man. We love the American League. Woo! Bring them on!
Bring them on. Bring them on, man. Do me a favor, Terry. Be blessed, man. We'll do it again next time. Tell everybody where they can find you.
Be good, man. And Terry D515 and TSD Memphis, Tri-State Defender Park. All right, Johnny. Hit them bets tonight, man, so you can pay for your...
I'm going to try to hit them bets so I can pay. Get out, everybody. We're taking a quick timeout. We're back in two shakes on Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now you want to get nuts? Come on, let's get nuts.
Now, back to Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Johnny Radio.
Welcome back to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy, Johnny Radio, hanging out with Brian Dacus. It is a Monday, and it's been a busy Monday, man. We got NBA action. We got MLB baseball. The NFL draft is Thursday, by the way, people. Yeah, that's right. The NFL draft is this Thursday, and it's just a dead-gum busy week. You know, it's the 22nd, right? We're just starting the week off, right? Guess what's on the 25th?
What's that?
That would be the ribbon cutting at Mugshots Grill and Bar in Cargill. And why is April 25th an important date? Because on April 28th, Mugshots in Cargill is giving away free burgers for a year. That's a $675 value. Of course, no purchase is necessary. All you have to do is go to Facebook, follow Mugshots, like it, share it on Facebook, tag two friends, bing, bang, boom. One lucky winner will be picked, and they will be announced who the winner is, of course, on April 25th. Free burgers for a year. They have the best happy hour. It's 2 to 6. I like my happy hour, 11 to 1. But, bro, I don't have the deals they do. 2 to 6 happy hour, all domestic drafts. They got the Ultra, the Bud Light, the Coors Light, Yingling. Bam, guess what? Half-priced. They also have snacks for $3. You can get their amazing mushrooms. You can get some a little Rotel and some chips. They got the chicken tenders, man. Head over to Mugshots. You're going to absolutely love it. And again, go to Facebook, give them a follow, like it, tag two friends, and share that bad boy, and you could win burgers for a year. At Mugshots, they're always having a good time. Now, we got to get into a few crazy situations. Like, we're going to have fun because, you know, at 12:30 today, we're doing a little bit of Hardinwood. It does feel good, and we are going to be talking about some crazy stories because we've got Pete Rose jumping in the Shohei Ohtani situation. And, you know, Pete Rose, he is the hits king. He's also not in the Hall of Fame because, well, he gambled on baseball. He bet on baseball back when he was coaching with the Reds. He's been barred for life. Shohei, though, on the other hand, had a big weekend, his fifth home run of the season. Playing a little decent baseball. They wanted to be a little more consistent, but Pete Rose kind of jumped all over him. And then, speaking of the Dodgers, a young lady who's a writer, a comedian, she sang the national anthem for the Dodgers at their stadium before their games on multiple occasions, done a lot of free work for them. Big Dodgers fan, was arrested and held for 2 hours. Now, she didn't get arrested. She was about to, but they let her go. And I'll tell you why. And then again, the big thing is the Kim Kardashian. Have you heard about this Kim Kardashian-Taylor Swift situation?
I have not. No, I don't think so.
Bro, Taylor, the Swifties are for real. Do you know how serious the Swifties are?
I'm afraid I do. I've seen the Swifties go crazy.
Kim K has lost over 100,000 followers because of the Swifties situation on her multiple different platforms. Like hundreds of thousands of fans on each platform, you know what I mean? And by the way, that's money in Kim K's pocket. Because they're not following her, and they don't like her anymore because Taylor doesn't like her, and she's saying about the feud that they have going on. And then, do you know how powerful the Swifties are? Do you know that Taylor Swift just broke every damn music record, basically?
Sure did.
300 million people on Friday alone, the day the album came out, 300 million people Stream that junk. Damn, bro. She don't play no games. She also sold 1.6 million copies. Damn. But we got Hardwood where it feels so good. On the other side, though, we got to talk a little baseball, a ton of NBA. Don't touch the dial. Sports 56, 98.5 FM.